Good morning, everyone. So glad you're here with us. If you don't know me, my name is Blake. I'm our college pastor, campus ministry director, and honored to be here. Thank you, Eddie, for letting me speak these next couple weeks. And we are starting a series this morning called The Heart Life, and something I got excited about. I might get excited this morning. It's a good probability. And so I don't know if you've ever been to a restaurant you really like, and restaurants I like usually have like a combination platter, you know, the three meats, you know, I want that one, and that one, and that one, and the vegetables, and when it comes out, you realize I've ordered too much, and so when I got really excited about this series, but when I sat down before the word, I realized I've ordered too much, and so we're gonna taste a lot of it. We might not hit it all, so hopefully it'll be good. So let's read. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to be in this passage 20 through 27. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance. One translation says, guard your heart above all else, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Let's pray. Father, help us this morning, Lord, to be affirmed in you, to be challenged, and Lord, to be inspired to worship you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage, it hinges on verse 23, which says, above all else, guard your heart, or keep your heart with all vigilance, for out of it flow the streams or the springs of life. Now, what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to hit an introduction to the heart, because how can we guard something unless we understand it, right? And then next week we'll talk about what does it mean to guard this thing. And so I have two dogs. One, do we have a picture of one of my dogs? This is Eden. Now, she is about 8 months, 9 months old. We got her at Christmas because, you know, we weren't busy enough and had lots of money to throw around. And so we got a dog. And before we got the dog, I like to do research. You know, I got to figure out how is this dog bred? You know, I'm kind of a purebred kind of dog guy. I'm sorry, don't judge me, but I like the purebreds. And so I want to know about it. Why was it bred? What was it bred to do? How does it react? In fact, the more you know about the dog, the better you can take care of the dog, right? So Eden is she's one of the highest energy bred dogs. They're German short hair pointers, or GSPs. And they just run for days. This morning I got on a bike and took her for a 3-mile run, and she acted like I insulted her. I mean, she could go like, that's it, 3 miles? Like, that's all you got? I'm on a bike, you know, I'm like pedaling. And so we're done. She's a hunting dog, so she likes to find things, so I can put her in a room and I can hide food all over the house, and then I'll let her go and I'll time her, see how fast she can find it. She just loves it. I mean, that's what she loves to do. And when I run her, I've got to make sure I let her off leash, because that's how she's bred. She's bred to go find stuff, and to keep her tied down is insulting. So I let her go. And so the more I learn about her, the more it helps me guard her, keep her, protect her, shepherd her to her full potential, and so she won't destroy my home, okay, right? And so that's what I want to do this morning, is that we want to understand the heart. So this morning we're going to talk about an introduction to the heart. What is the heart? Well, the heart here is the inner man or woman, the inner life, who you are beyond your body. We realize that if we go to the beginning, God created man and woman in his image. Male and female, he created them. In the image of God, we are image bearers. We are in his likeness. He created us with depth and complexity, right? We walk in relationship with God, and we get to learn more about who God is and experience more about Him every day. In fact, we'll never know fully who He is, right? Because He's got depth and complexity, and we are image bearers of Him. I've been married to Michelle now 11 years. She's changed, right? She's not the woman I married. She's different, and I'm getting to know her more and more every day. There's depth, there's complexity to her. It's awesome, right? We get to know each other. We get to experience life. The heart is how we experience life. It's when we see a sunset or a sunrise. It's what we see that's beautiful. We can appreciate it. When we touch a significant other and it warms us, that's our heart. When we dream, we think about the future, that comes out of our heart. Our motives, the things we're attracted to, all these things come out of the heart, and they're beautiful. God's created us that way. The Bible says right after this in Genesis 2 that he gathered man from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into him a living soul, or a life, a living being. He breathed into us and made our heart alive, that we might walk with him in relationship and enjoy it. See, he didn't create us in a room. He created us in a world that is still expanding. And we get to walk with God with deep emotion and excitement, with pain and with hope, with despair and with great dreams. All this is coming out of the heart, and all of it's beautiful to God. He's created us that way, that we might experience Him and life in fullness. And so there's a lie that kind of seeps in. To follow Jesus means to kill the heart. To get rid of desire, to get rid of emotion, to be a stoic, just a robot. And that was never God's design. I mean, we look at Jesus with great joy and laughter, playing with children. We see Him drive out people out of the temple with passion and fire. We see Him weep for His friends. We see Him get disappointed with His disciples. We see Him have mercy and compassion for those in need. The full gamut of emotions in life comes out of Jesus. And so we know, man, if Jesus is the model, man, He lived a life full in His heart. Isn't it awesome? Isn't it awesome that we get to enjoy life in its fullness? I mean, I was on roller coaster this last week, and I kind of like roller coasters. I've grown to like them. I didn't used to like them, but as I conquered some fears in my life, I'm like, this is pretty cool, you know? And so I get on those, and I just want to soak it all in. I remember the first time when I was a kid, I went on Space Mountain, right? I just remember dark and terrifying. But now I go through, and I'm like, oh, there's stars in here, you know? There's like noises. I'm soaking in the experience, you know? And so here we go. We go through life, and we experience the fullness of it. We all are different and unique in that, right? There's other things warm our hearts and excite us. When I go to an amusement park, I look at it as something to be conquered, right? I paid a lot of money. I'm going to get the fullest experience I can. And I'm going to drag my family along with me, baby. We're going to do this. And Michelle, she wants to experience the park. We might just have a meal together. I'm like, no, that's a waste. Right? Time, that's precious, right? But each one of us is unique. Each one of us experiences life in our hearts differently, and it's beautiful. We get to see a part of God in each one of us, right? Isn't that cool? So we have a heart that God created, and it's full of taste buds, and it's full of life to eat and drink, and whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. How can you eat to the glory of God if you don't enjoy that steak, you know? If you can't enjoy the flavors, I mean, life is full, right? I'm sorry for all vegetarians. I meant, what's something? I'm just kidding. But it's glorious and it's beautiful. And all the things that make us human, God put in us. Isn't that awesome? But sin, right? And we go through Genesis chapter 2, and we made a fall. And what's amazing is that God gave us a choice. He put in the garden the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he said, you know what? Don't eat that. You can have life apart from me, but don't do it. It won't really be life. Once you eat it, you will surely die. And so what I love about God is that he said, man, I want you to love me from the heart with all that you are. And so I'm going to give you an option not to. I know some of us here that if he knew we were going to sin, why did he even put it there? Because he wanted our hearts. He didn't want this, I'll just obey you, God. No, I want your heart. See, but what you might be saying, and saying, doesn't Jesus ask us to lay down our dreams and our desires? Absolutely. But not so that you would be dreamless and desireless. Not so that you would live a dead life. No, so that he might sanctify that dream. So that he might take, give me that thing that you so desperately, I'll give you something better. And so here's the beauty. And so sin comes in. In Genesis 3, and he says that sin came in and they died. Their spirit died, the body, the soul, and the spirit. And the spirit died and the soul was twisted. That doctrine is the depravity of man, that our heart is wicked. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Our hearts are sick and they're deceitful. Who can understand it? And when sin entered the world, it twisted our hearts. It made us broken. We're sick. We're broken, and it deceives us. The Bible says in John 3, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, he says, you must be born again. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and the spirit gives birth to spirit. And so your spirit must be made alive to even see God, to even see his glory, and to walk with him for all eternity. There's got to be a change. There's got to be, your heart is broken and it can't be trusted. Now, they've made this instrument that's able to see and give you kind of a picture of the heart. And so I was offended this week and I figured now was a good time to see what my heart looks like when I get offended. Okay, and so do we have that clip? I was able to get a clip for my heart, what it looks like when I get offended.
Thank you.
Now, we know that Smeagol is evil, or Gollum, or whichever one it is. They're evil, right? It's deceitful. But there's something more deceitful than him. Our hearts. Now, we would say, why would we follow Smeagol? And yet, we follow our own hearts blindly. See, the heart is deceitful above all things. Above all things. This is the human heart promising to take us to safety and fulfillment, only leading us to disappointment and disaster. Our emotions and our heart give us hints into what our hearts really need. Like, there is a desire. We have the Imago Dei. There is something in us that is glorious and beautiful and longs for something that our heart longs for, but we've got no one to turn to. And so we look within, and maybe our hearts will lead us there. But it is deceptive. And that's the power of deception, is it not? You don't know what's happening. When you're being deceived, you don't realize it. I'm watching this series right now with my wife, and there's this one character who is the embodiment of evil. You know, you just love to hate him. And every time you see him, you just look at him, oh, I just hate that guy. His name is George, and I just want George to die. You know, because he's just ruining everything. And so I'm just like, man, and how deceitful George is. And our hearts are deceitful more than George. I want to unpack this for a moment because we can agree with that. Yeah. Hearts are deceitful, especially his and hers, right? But what does this look like? That means there are desires, motives, passions, thoughts, feelings, drawings, attractions that are telling us this is good. And yet, it's not good for us. See, the heart is deceitful. It makes it feel like this is good. And there's this lie that, man, all I got to get rid of all this, and if I just follow this, this will make me happy. And then we follow it only to find out we were lied to. And the heart, and at the seat of the heart, our affections and our love, it's a deceptive thing. Christian, don't think that you're above this. I know some of us are thinking, yeah. And lost people have deceptive hearts. No. Don't miss this. Young person, don't miss this. Your heart is deceitful. And you know what? You can't outrun your heart. I don't know how many times I wish I had a dollar for a young person. I just got to get out of Greenville. I mean, because Greenville, but here's the problem. You're going to take your sinful, deceitful heart with you. I know you left your heart in San Francisco, but that's a lie. It came with you, brother. It came. It followed you. And so I don't care where you go. You can't outrun the deceit of the heart. See, the heart is deceitful. You can't run fast enough. You can't run far enough. You will bring yourself with you. And I know it's how we define the heart is important here. And I'm not going to dig all into the nuances of this, but let me just, when we think of the heart in our culture, we think of how we feel. Instinctively, viscerally, how it feels. And so if we're not careful, it'll lead us where we don't want to go. It'll cost more than we can pay, and we're going to regret every bit of it. This is the heart. Now, Blake, that's discouraging. Yeah. But I want to warn us this morning that we won't be led astray by our own hearts and feel good about it the whole way. Now, what is God's plan for the heart? Because obviously God doesn't want us to stay in this place. God's plan for the heart is its renovation. See, when Adam and Eve sinned, Jesus, the lights didn't change, right? When Adam and Eve sinned, it was like, cha-ching, like the Truman Show. I mean, it was just like, all right, we got to stop everything. You've done wrong. No, Jesus walks, God walks into the scene, right? And he woos them out of their sin. What did you do? Where did you go? These are questions of the heart. Who told you that? Questions to woo our hearts. What is God after? He's after our hearts. To woo us. See, God just didn't pay the penalty of sin with some kind of black and white. No, he painted a scene. He let us feel the emotion of our sin. He let us see the compassion of God. He warmed our hearts. He didn't just deal with the justice issue. He awakened us to our very core. This is the gospel. He said, I will pay for it, and I want you to see it because I want you to see the depth of my love for you. I'm wooing you out of your cold, hard heart. This is the plan. Jesus doesn't just forgive our sins. I mean, think about your sin. We just got back from traveling, and we have loads of laundry that don't do themselves. You know, I'm like, where's the laundry fairy? You know, Michelle and I always talk about the laundry fairy. Did you pay the laundry fairy? She's like, no, he didn't come today. I'm like, dang it. It's not going anywhere. And these loads of laundry that have to be washed, and Jesus washed it all. We come home and it's been washed and put away, and what happened? I mean, reams of paper if we just write out our sin. Think about the depth of your deceit and your selfishness and the pain you've caused others. Just reams of it. Jesus just burns it all. This is the beauty. And that's not where he stops. He didn't just start at your forgiveness, but he made you justified as if you never sinned. He gave you a righteousness that you did not deserve. Jesus lived and he purchased, he earned the righteousness, and he gives it to us. Isn't that awesome? This is Jesus, and he cleans our, he goes into the recesses of our heart, and he wipes it clean and gives us a clean conscience. I mean, this is awesome. He took away our guilt and our shame. Anybody ever had that before? Right? He took it on the cross. No more guilt. No more shame. We felt alone. We felt abandoned. So he adopted us. He poured the lavish love of a good father on us and pulled us into his family and gave us a new name, all beautiful in his sight. But he didn't stop there. He won our hearts. He won our hearts. Why so graphic? Why so colorful? So that not your mind would be satisfied, but that your heart would be awakened. Jesus wants your heart. We see Ezekiel 11, 19 through 20, he says, and I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone and from their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Here is the plan, that God would take out our heart of stone and put inside of us a heart of flesh and fill it with the Spirit of God. That God would put his Spirit within us. One of my favorite Disney movies, you can tell I'm on a Disney theme, is Ratatouille. Anybody ever seen that? Love that movie. Until I have small children. So, I love this movie. In this chance encounter, this rat, who is a born chef, just instinctively, he has this ability to cook, and it just comes to him. He doesn't even need to learn. It's just instinctively in him. And in this chance encounter, this young man, Linguini, they find each other. And Linguini's a he's an orphan without a job, and they give him a job as a garbage boy, and he has this chance encounter with Remy, the rat. And Remy, he discovers, has this insane gift to cook. And he said, will you help me? He's like, yeah, I'll help you. And so they partner together. And Remy will go into his hat, and like the puppet master, he'll cook for Linguini. And Linguini will cook, and through this, Remy discovers that not only is Linguini is not just a garbage boy, but he's actually the son of the man who owns the restaurant, Gusteau. Inside of him is this chef that needs to be brought out. And not only is he the son, the whole restaurant's his. He's the son of this great chef, and it's his restaurant, it's his inheritance. And as he kind of yields, and at first he's unwilling to trust this rat, but as but eventually he learns to trust him, and they work together, and then he gets a little discipleship from this other chef named Colette, and she helps him become a better chef. And by the end of the movie, Linguini's a great chef, and they have their own restaurant, and you know, and happily ever after. But here is, right, here is the beauty of the gospel, that in God we get the Spirit, and he comes inside of us, and he's a master. But we don't want to trust him. We have our way of doing it, even though we're horrible at it. We want to do it ourselves, and we make a mess. But the more we learn to trust, the more we have this relationship with God's Spirit, and we trust him, he'll lead us and guide us. And we realize, man, I'm not an orphan. I've been adopted. I don't have nothing. I have everything. And we walk with God, and he makes us alive. And see, here's the beauty of this. I will give you a new heart and a new, I will put my Spirit in you. See, Genesis 2, when God breathes into Adam the breath of life, the ruach, the Spirit of God, and gives him a life, a living soul, that's taken away from him when sin comes in. But when Jesus rises from the dead, you see this kind of strange scene. He's gathered his disciples around and says, guys, look, he's risen from the dead. He says, feel my hands. It's me, right? And they're convinced. And he gathers them around. What does he do? It says he breathes on them. Receive the Spirit. It's an echo. He says, your heart was dead because of sin. And just like God breathed into Adam and made him a living soul and made his soul alive, I am breathing my Spirit in you to renovate your heart. And we have this relationship now with the Spirit that when we get born again, the Spirit of God comes inside of us, and we hand in hand get to walk through not just life, which is awesome, but we get to walk through our soul. And the Holy Spirit says, man, I'm going to heal that. You know how you've always reacted this way in this situation and it's destroying you? I'm going to heal that. I'm going to go into this generational sin that I see has been passed down, and I want to heal that. And so the renovation of the heart, it doesn't happen in a moment. But you might be saying, Blake, I've been saved. I have God's Spirit. I've got horrible thoughts and desires. Yes. And God wants to renovate the soul. He wants to step in to your life and slowly, methodically, like a mustard seed in a garden that grows up as the largest of the garden plants. The gospel wants to root itself in, and the Spirit wants to expand out into your desires. See, God doesn't say, you know, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice Isaac so you won't be a father, but so that I will redeem your heart. Because your love for Isaac is out of place. Your heart is moved over. I must be your passion and your desire, because you'll destroy Isaac. And so here God is saying, I want the heart after me, and I will awaken all these other desires. I'm on a renovation mission of the heart. I want to deal with your emotions. I want to deal with your lifestyle and your habits. I'm walking through your life by the Spirit to bring healing. That doesn't stop. You don't come to the end of that. I'm going to just tell you right now, be vulnerable this morning. There is a love in me for comfort. I love it. When someone says, we're going camping, I think, that sounds horrible. And I know there's campers in here who love that and do it. But for me, right, I love comfort too much. And there's something inside of me that wants to settle on this side of the promised land. Is it going to be hard? Am I going to have to fight? I'm good right here. I'm comfortable here. And Jesus is wooing us over the Jordan. He's saying, Blake, I have an inheritance for you. And here's the picture in the Old Testament of your promised land. Not in one moment you get it all. You get a taste of the kingdom to come. And then slowly, inch by inch, Jesus takes over your heart. But will we venture in? Or will we stay, no. That's scary. There's giants. Oh, yeah, big giants. Your little golem is huge. Okay, and so he is deceitful and he's wicked, but he needs to be redeemed. He needs to be brought to Jesus, and slowly, methodically, God wins your heart. See, what have I said this morning? God has created us in his image and his likeness with depth and complexity and beauty. Feelings are, I heard this a couple weeks ago, and I was like, that's awesome. I'm stealing that. He said, feelings are the taste buds of life. They're good, right? God's created us beautiful with complexity and depth with the Imago Dei. And every one of us has it. And yet, through sin, our hearts are sick and deceitful. They don't want what's best for us. It can't know what's best for us. God, in his infinite mercy and compassion, steps into our world, says, I don't want to just forgive you and give you righteousness. I want to awaken your hearts. I want to heal it. Will you venture with me on this journey to have Jesus renovate your heart? See, we've got to understand the big plan for the heart. There are some of us in this room right now that, if left to ourselves, there are desires, feelings, cravings, attractions that if we'll follow our heart, they'll follow right into death. Maybe not your natural death, but maybe the death of your soul. What does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? Maybe he's not even talking about eternity there. He is, but C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Great Divorce, says that you'll probably, your soul will be dead far before you enter into eternal life. What profit does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul, his heart? And so now we've maybe have a picture, a sampling, if you will, of the heart and God's plan for it. So let's pray. Let's stand as we pray this morning. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you made us beautiful. Every one of us, beautiful in your eyes. And though we were broken, you gave us a new spirit and a new heart. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in here this morning and you're saying, Blake, I'm broken and my heart is dead. And I need Jesus to make me alive again. If that's you this morning, I want you to raise your hand and raise it high so I can see it. Amen. Anyone else? Okay, you can put your hands down. If you raise your hand this morning, I want you to pray with me. Say, King Jesus, I am a sinner, and I am selfish, and I have loved other things more than you. Forgive me. I accept the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. And I want to follow him for the rest of my life. Fill me right now with your Spirit. Give me a new heart and help me on this journey of the renovation of my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for your goodness and your love. Thank you for your Spirit put inside of us. Lord, I ask this morning, and here's my prayer for GCF Church, is that you would awaken our hearts. Lord, there is an act, and there are acts that will deaden our heart, but there is a slow fade to the death of the heart, and I pray you bring it alive again. Lord, for those of us who've given up dreams, who've laid down desires that you put in us, Lord, awaken them, Lord. Father, I ask that you would awaken us for the things of God. And Lord, for your calling on our lives individually, Lord. And Lord, the calling of this church, that we would walk into what you would have us be and do on this side of heaven. That we wouldn't settle on this side of the Jordan, God, but that we would believe you. We would venture out to a scary place, knowing that you are with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.